we were talking about different approaches to meditation and ways that different teachers use. And I was just talking about this emphasis on watching the mind. And I said it's that formal meditation were just kind of periods where you were kind of training yourself like a footballer would train in a gymnasium or something like that. But the actual purpose of the training was not in the training itself, but actually for use on the football pitch. And we got into discussion about that. And Venerable said that actually Sariputta said that he could choose which of the four satipatthanas he would dwell in on a particular day or a particular time or whatever. That he actually would choose himself whether to look at feelings or whether to look at mind.
It seems like one is choosing, but what about the accumulation?
Actually paying attention to a particular object.
Yes, but when we talk about attention, it's not I. And at the moment of having the wife's attention, it's by conditions too. Each moment is conditioned. Otherwise, there's no elimination of the idea of self at all. It has to be very firmly established so there can be right awareness, giving way to right awareness instead of trying to manage it.
This is what strikes me about what you were saying earlier about sort of a continuum of natural and so on. I mean, and training. If there's training in the wrong way, like with wrong view, even if it's very subtle wrong view, then no matter how much training there is, one is going in the wrong direction. Even in a rough thing, I do swimming now, but and I have a coach, and my coach is trying to undo all the bad habits I had, and that takes a long time. Just something as coarse as swimming that someone can observe. Imagine how something as subtle as developing understanding of anatta and satipatthana is, that so easy to go wrong. And so training in the wrong way just leads one in the wrong direction much more.
This gets back to what we were talking about this morning. You've got to start somewhere, you know, you've got to start. Otherwise, right intellectual understanding, but there's nothing wrong in the idea of, the three characteristics are firmly hammered in all the time. I mean, it's not something that you're not aware of. But I don't see anything in kinds of meditative practice which are reinforcing the idea of self, whereas I do in the system builders. You know, I see very much in Maharshi Sayadaw or Goenka, people like that, they're very, very much reinforcing self, but not in more natural kinds of practices. I mean, Ajahn Chah, I've really learned to appreciate him since I was in Burma in ways that I never did before. He wasn't a meditation teacher as such, but he gave good talks, and then the talks were, spot on. But we have to start somewhere. Whatever level we're at, we have to make a start.
It's very much accumulations. It's got nothing to do with one's own decision to study it. Because it's just there. It's just why there's so many people in this world who don't understand Dhamma. Because they've got no accumulations to have understanding of it. And they've got absolutely no interest in it whatsoever, because their desires are elsewhere. And they're attaching to concepts about things or to pleasures, and they just don't have any interest whatsoever to understand Dhamma. So there's only a small number in the world, that I know of anyway, who hears Dhamma, and then that triggers an interest. And I don't think we don't choose to be interested.
There are so many places in the suttas where the Buddha talks about, for example, the arising of unwholesome states and pressing the tongue against the roof of the mouth and so on.
Conditioning. Or
I mean, his own adhitan, I will not move from this spot until I've attained full liberation. This kind of effort is not just sitting down and thinking, well, I've, you know, the conditions are going to come by themselves. I just read a few books.
He came upon the middle way. Didn't require of him to have that kind of determination or even teach it that you must do this. He found the middle way and that's what he taught.
Yeah, so the Buddha found the way, he arrived at the goal, and he taught the way, but he encouraged us to do the work. There's one sutta where it says, by having a view of self, one overcomes self. By overcoming, by having asmimana, the I am conceit, one overcomes I am conceit. But there's one thing that you don't use to overcome, and that's sexual relationships.
Well,
you cannot use sex to overcome sex, but you can use self to overcome self. The point is that we start, of course, everything is anatta, but that is not actually our understanding on a deeper level. We still have attachments to self. We still have an I am as me man, even as an anusya. And yes, we understand right view in terms of the nature of the dukkha. The first noble truth is that there is only five aggregates. There's only the six internal and external sense bases. But how do we come to develop the full understanding to become arahata, to get rid of the most subtle clinging to I am conceit? So the Buddha says, or actually I think it was Ananda, he says, a monk hears about another monk who has attained to arahata. And using this conceit of I am, one develops one's practice to get rid of I am and attain to arahata.
The Buddha would never encourage akusala. Right. You'll agree that if he's teaching the way, he will teach about the Eightfold Path.
Can I say that the wish to attain to arahata is dhammachanda, the desire.
And that has to be kusala.
That is kusala.
Yes.
But it can still have there can still be the concept or attachment to self with that. These are different moments with that. And the attachment to self or the asmimana, I am. We're not arahatas. If you are arahatas, you can say the I am has been put away.
Sure.
But as long as it is there as the underlying tendency, asmimana, or it rises to the surface, the desire to attain to getting rid of the I am coast.
Okay, here's my explanation. When he talks about the path, the understanding of akusala, of mana, so when he's talking about what he's encouraging is understanding. So when he refers to I am, using I am, means you can only get rid of I, the conceit, by knowing I. So without an I, without conceit ever arising, there can't be knowing it, hence overcoming it. And that's the meaning.
I don't quite understand that, but the thing is, of course, using the I am conceit, one comes to see that there is no I. This is the point. And it's a gradual deepening of one's practice. We're starting from the very a very gross basic beginning where we still cannot understand anatta or not self at a deeper level, but we have right view. That's still intellectual right view,
right?
It has to be applied to oneself. The arahata is one who is Dhamma Buddha, become the Dhamma itself, but it didn't start there.
Sure,
didn't start
it's
there.
Gradual recognizing every Dhamma, including conceit.
Yes.
And wrong view.
And wrong view, yes.
Here's something from a Burmese monk who wrote the preface to the Discourse on Elements in the Abhidharma. He wrote the preface for the Pali Text Society for the Discourse of Elements. He's a Burmese writer. And he writes, the elements are not permanently present. No being has any control over the arising and ceasing of the elements,
and they are not at his mercy or will, however and mighty and powerful he may be. The elements have no regard for anyone, show no favour to anyone, and do not accede to the wishes of anyone. They are entirely dependent on conditions. And that's so true. I mean, that's what I think the start is to understand anatta in this way, that there's merely elements. And
we can understand in that sense, you know, when I first came to my first meeting with Ajahn Suchen, she opened up my eyes to the true significance of the Buddha's teaching. Coming here and listening, and one develops the right view, but it has to be the first path is the path of seeing. And the Buddha himself states what that means. As the Buddha is giving the talk, and he talks about dana, sila, and gives a graduated teaching until he sees that the mind, he talks about the fruit of dana and sila, and the joys of being reborn in the heaven realm, things like that. And then he talks about the dangers of the senses, and the dangers of samsara. And when he sees that the person's mind is clean and pure, like a white cloth that will take the dye without any speck or any stain, he gives the teaching on the Four Noble Truths, which is special to the Buddha, and they see.
The Buddha was the one to know the other person's accumulation. That's one thing. The other is, but it's a totally different thing when you say that I am like this, this is what I need to do. Totally different condition.
If right understanding is arising, that is the right way, right? That is it.
Intellectually, I know there is no self. Ultimately, there is no persistent, lasting self. But as far as I am at the moment, the level I'm at the moment, I have to work with the way things are. And knowing that everything is conditioned, okay, that's also an intellectual thing. As far as I'm concerned, I have a choice. Even the vinaya, it's not a static thing. It's something that becomes more and more subtle. It doesn't help any progress whatsoever to think, oh, well, there is no self, it's only conditions, I might as well just give up and lie down and just wait for everything to happen.
Just because you say there's no self doesn't mean that you lie down and do nothing. Because no matter, even if you say there's no self, it doesn't mean that there's not going to be interest in Dhamma, an effort in Dhamma. The idea that I can pick this up is a false one. It's about the realities that are rising and falling away so very fast that I can't control. I don't have any control over it whatsoever. And so there can be the idea, I will pick this up. But it's not me choosing that. It's just the way citta arises and falls away.
If I want to read 2 pages, that requires some concentration. Otherwise, I'm just going to allow thinking, hearing, whatever it is, to arise in the present moment. There's some kind of effort needed.
No, but that happens automatically because there's effort all the time.
I really can't understand what the problem, why you're seeing problems in talking about developing. And as a venerable friend said, because somebody said to me in Chiang Mai a couple of weeks ago, you've got to use self to overcome self. But you know what you're doing. I mean, the Buddha uses I. Communication would just completely break down if we tried to live in a paramatta reality. We just, meaningful language would be...
Can I say something? A lot of our talk is about contemplating the nature of the six sense space. That is Dhammanupassana. We have 3 other anupassanas: body, feeling, and mind. The meditation practice ends in Dhammanupassana, where no concept of self, one overcomes the concept of self, yes? But what I want to point out is, many times the Buddha talks about meditation, but especially some discourses where the Buddha feels the need to point out the monks the danger of samsara. And he says, monks, they are the roots of trees. Meditate. Don't be negligent, lest you regret it in future. And the word is jayate.
And the jayate is explained by the commentary as the two types. One is samatha, the 40 objects of samatha, and the other one is the aramana laksana, aramana, which is the six sense doors. That's the two types that the monks, when he says meditate, he means either this at the six sense doors or the samatha type. So,
I think, you know, we're looking at things, we're looking at an interpretation based upon teachers coming later. But I think that that term means meditate. Here are the roots of trees. We find, for instance, are the 10 sannyas, the 10 sort of perceptions. How does one develop anicca sannya? Gone to the forest, gone to the root of the tree, gone to the one reflects.
Yes, I think about the beginning. Now, I think that we are quite far away from understanding reality because we talk a lot about the five door or six door ways. But who knows whether whisper object now is appearing to the sense door or the mind door. Theoretically, we know because it's so fast. But can it be known? Seeing? Did Buddha teach us to understand it as a reality, no self who sees? So the question is whether can Panya understand seeing right now so that we do not go away from reality right now. Seeing and hearing are in the books. All the teachings are about reality, and now there are realities. And the very important thing is that we shouldn't think in terms of words only, like seeing. In English, in Thai, or in Japanese, what is seeing? At moment of understanding it, no word at all. We don't have to think about whether it's through the eye door or the mind door, because at that very moment is the understanding, the nature of seeing as not self, which we learn from books, from the teachings. But it doesn't mean that cling to the word and try to find out whether it's this kayanupasana or dhammanupasana. But when there is understanding, there must be understanding, which is not just thinking. Like now, we are talking about seeing. Seeing arises uncontrollable, depending on the eye sense and the visible object. Otherwise, there will never be seeing at all. And thinking about the object of seeing, whenever there are the four primary rupas, there must be that which can be seen, but it depends on conditions, whether it is seen or not seen. Like sound, there must be the four primary rupas, otherwise they cannot. Sound cannot be seen, but without the hearing, can it be heard? Even it's, can it show its characteristic as a reality which can be heard? So at this moment, when there is the understanding of reality, we don't have to think of the word at all, because it's the developing of understanding from what we have heard, no matter how long, this life or previous lives. But there must be realities all the time. After birth, there must be a moment of seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, and thinking, but with understanding or not understanding at all. So when there is the development of understanding, it does mean just thinking, contemplating about what is said, but it's the development of understanding what is heard and beginning to understand it without thinking that it's hard, because who can explain hardness so well rather than the experiencing of hardness? Taste, can anyone explain the characteristic of that which is tasted as much as the consciousness, the taste consciousness itself, which do not have to use any term at all? Like now, the understanding of seeing. If you think about concentration or choosing, it means that there is no understanding of seeing at that very moment. So seeing passed away without any understanding. All realities are like this when there is awareness. So I think that the question should be whether Panya can understand seeing right now. Can Panya understand hearing and sound now or not? When it's Panya, can it understand? But when it's ignorance, visible object is not appearing. Ignorance cannot understand anything. But Panya begins to learn, to consider, to understand reality, which appears through six doorways, one by one at a time. For example, at moment of seeing, is there anyone sitting? At moment of understanding, the nature which arises and sees only, it is now seeing. Is there arms, legs? That's the way to reduce the idea of self from thinking there is still my or me from head to toe and all the collection or accumulation of. This is the way to see reality as anatta, no one, no self. Because seeing without form, without shape, can you tell whether it's the birds seeing or the fish seeing or who's seeing? Seeing is seeing. It has its own conditions for its arising to see and then pass away instantly, completely, never come back. This is the way to become less attached to reality as something permanent, which is atta sanya.
Like I said before, I mean, I understand and appreciate that without any difficulty. But, you know, when I cross the road, it's not possible to only be aware of seeing. I mean, I've got to get out of the way. There's a car coming, you know, and so that's perhaps what I mean by meditation as opposed to ordinary life, everyday life. We have to live in a kind of conventional reality, you know, and the eye is okay, is present. But when you have the ability to watch what's happening without any without any worries or any concerns about anything else, then I would regard that as what I say is practice, that's all.
If there was understanding arisen in daily life, you'd see that that's not going to happen. And there's not going to be any fear about being hit by a car. There's no question of that.
The Buddha does recommend some things, like I was been reading through the Sanguttara Nikaya, and something I hadn't noticed in the past, that when there's a sutta and the Buddha's talking about develop concentration monks, for one who's concentrated, one sees things as they are, what often follows, in the very next sutta, the Buddha says, monks develop seclusion, patisalana, go apart. For one who lives secluded, things as they are. So here's to me, you know, I fully agree about having right view, right understanding, but we see how the Buddha is encouraging certain things to arise.
And what's the goal of monks? And what's the goal of laymen? Different goals? Or higher goal?
Most people don't have the same goal of pursuing the Dharma.
Lay people can attain Sotapattimagga, Sakadagamimagga, Anagamimagga, and even Arahata. But monks' life, after attaining the Arahata, cannot be layman at all. So the goal of all monks is to attain Arahatship, not just Sotapanna, Sakadagami, Anagami. So when the Tipitaka says something about seclusion, what is it? The seclusion. Because the teachings will lead to no attachment at all. In Pali, nipchato, to be without or having no attachment at all. So it does mean sotapat, until there is no attachment, no clinging, no avicca, not just only sotapanna. So we have to consider what is meant by seclusion. It's so true that without defilement, one is very secluded. No lobha, no dosa, no moha. So Buddha urged everyone to attain the highest degree. not just attaining Sota Poching. He urged everyone to even know defilement in this life, if it's possible. But he didn't just tell anyone to do anything without knowing one's own accumulation. Who goes? Sotapanna or Arata or worldly people?
It is more difficult for them.
Did he urge lay people to go to the forest?
Normally these actual teachings are for bhikkhus or bhikkhunis, mm-hmm. Because of their lifestyle.
Yes, but we have to understand what is meant by seclusion. Anyone who goes to the forest without any understanding, what's the use? Sitting alone somewhere on the beach with akusala, is that seclusion?
But one doesn't add, one's not negating the need for right view. One is talking about what to do, mm-hmm. when one has right view, and what is helpful to make the right view deeper and deeper until one becomes the right view itself.
Okay, right view of seeing.
For instance, I know from myself there's a huge difference between living in a monastery
with understanding seeing,
with understanding, and actually living apart and living alone. And why is that? Because of the interaction with others. When one is alone, one is alone.
When there's no understanding of reality right now, can we say that that is the understanding itself?
I would like to ask, conditions for right understanding to arise at the present moment. Now we can have right intellectual understanding, but there can be many distractions. There can be many conditions for the five hindrances to arise.
I think that when one is heard about concentration, one forgets about with right understanding at all. Just aim on concentration without any understanding.
To me, I don't always consider samadhi here as concentration to be wrong concentration, because we understand when it talks about samatha vipassana often, Vipassana is dependent upon the samatha, and also in another way of looking at it is the samatha is dependent upon vipassana, depending which goes first.
Talk about samadhi, it is ekakata jitasika, and when we talk about samatha, it's not ekakata jitasika, but it is the sampasati jitasika. Citta pasati and kaya pasati, because samatha itself doesn't have that characteristic, because it can arise with any citta. It has to arise with each moment. So when there is the word concentration, there should be all concentration or concentration with right understanding when it's the teaching of Buddha.
And to understand samatha in terms of the, not so much from the Abhidhamma, but from the absence of lobha and dosa.
Vipanya knows.
Yes.
But avicca cannot know,
yes.
What moment is with or without lobha, dosa and moha. Mm. Because by reading one can tell how many akusala jitas, 12, and that. But at this moment, what moment is akusala and what moment is akusala? When there is no right awareness, it's only thinking about all these words that at moment of hearing Dhamma, it is kusa. But actually, before knowing or understanding what is heard, there must be hearing before the sound can pass away, because it lasts for 17 moments of citta. But after hearing, there must be moments which is left for kusala or akusala. For those who haven't heard about the teaching and the understanding of realities at all, usually no understanding of hearing and sound. But for those who understand and have the firm foundation for awareness to arise, because it's even right awareness must has its own right conditions for its arising. It doesn't mean that anyone who hears that having right awareness can have right awareness. It's impossible. But each moment isn't, especially when it's panya. Because what's the goal? The understanding of reality right now, not with the self, but understanding with right. So there must be the understanding of the difference between seeing without right, from not knowing anything at all, from seeing and followed by akusala. There are moments which are seeing, which followed by kusala. And at moment of becoming an arahata, seeing followed by kiriya, no kusala, no akusala, because all kusalas are eradicated completely, absolute, no conditions for the arising of any kind of akusala. So it has samadhi, but what is right? It seems like one is postponing the understanding of reality right now by trying to condition something to arrive. But actually,
when they refer to samatha and the need to for samatha, whether in itself or to go along with vipassana, and when they talk about needing to go to a secluded place, they're not thinking about the attachment that arises from the sense doors. They're thinking in terms of concepts of situations, and this is what they want to get away to, the concept of a quiet place. So even at the level of samatha, they go wrong, because the real problem is the akusala citta that arises following the sense door consciousness.
Because it's his nature.
Go into seclusion to make seeing the need.
On insisting that this is the path.
Skillful means here. And we see, of course, we can see the patisala in a seclusion, deepest sense, or one who lives alone. We were using it in a special sense, under special circumstance, but it is to a general sense to encourage. He is actually talking in the general sense, encouraging.
The Buddha, you know, in one sutta saying, yes, it's absolutely essential we have noble friendship. And then again, he says it's absolutely essential to have seclusion. So, I mean, that's the only way I can understand is that, you know, different people at different times need different things.
But Ajahn was saying seclusion isn't the seclusion of being removed from people.
I know, but that's a high, you know, I'm trying to talk about the developing. It's like, okay, the full understanding, like I said, of non-self is the level of arahantship, and the just the same with seclusion from defilements. I mean, that's something we're now trying to look at how that can be developed, and it seems to me that. One thing, certainly a certain amount of withdrawal is necessary on a physical level.
I believe it's going to be encouraging you to learn about the real seclusion, not seclusion away from them, but seclusion in terms of being secluded from the kilesas.
What would you like to move away from?
Like I said, I mean, yesterday I just felt really... I think you're saying Thai Akul John about being in the streets of Bangkok. I just felt that it just wasn't the right place to be. There were so many things to be careful of and to avoid and so on, that it became extremely painful or difficult.
What about moving away from ignorance and attachment?
But we're talking about the...
When there is ignorance at moment of seeing, is that moving away from understanding? Keep on moving away from reality which appears.
No, but what's that story, something about there's all these thorns and everything on the ground and somebody's walking over them in bare feet, and the solution isn't to get rid of the thorns, it's to put a pair of shoes on.
There must always be seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, and thinking. Where can one move away from all these realities?
When we are small children, we can't just suddenly
pick up the Tipitaka and start reading the suttas. We've got to learn A is for apple, B for something else, bat, whatever it was, C for cat. And it comes in stages. And all I'm saying is that trying to, you know, to some extent, in order to detach from kilesa, it may mean detaching from certain situations in order to develop that parami or whatever, you know, that or that kind of accumulation. Like, this is a protection. To a great extent, this is a protection.
Are you looking for the way to not move away from reality right now, or panya right now, or avicca? At the moment of not understanding reality and try to do something, not developing the understanding of reality, that is moving away from understanding the truth of reality. Because who can condition seeing to arise? Who can make hearing to arise? It's now conditioned. When there is the understanding of the conditioned reality, it's the only way to move away from ignorance. Not knowing or understanding life through six doorways, from birth to death.
When the understanding is firm, then there's no question of time, place, posture, because you know that there are, in fact, only dhammas.
But one will still follow their accumulations, which may include living in the forest or may not, you know. It's like Ajahn said today, postponing. It's when there's not interest in the present moment, but one's trying to make conditions, other conditions, it's like postponing.
Now I can see that.
Also, I think it's not just the way Robert, because it makes it sound like, well, you know, you follow your tendencies and to monk, okay, I follow my tendency, I work in the pub, it's all the same thing, you know, just following our tendencies. I think you follow your tendencies according to what you find to be conducive, hopefully, what one finds conducive. You know, if you find something conducive, then you do it. Venerable Kuttasila knows for himself if living in the forest is conducive for him or not. Who is to say that it's not conducive for him? Who's going to stand up and say it's not? That you could be anywhere you want. It's not. It's the same. Everyone knows for themselves what is conducive. Remember, we're talking here about right view, not how everyone should live or should live the same or differently or whatever, you know?
Isn't it accumulations, whatever we talk about, it's a moment-to-moment thing? I mean, we can't just make a judgment about this is who I am and then feel justified in doing what we're doing. We're still talking about moment to moment.
That's right. So, yeah. You know. But also what we find conducive for ourselves, you know, and not just, like, I may do certain things not because I find them enjoyable or whatever, but I do them because I find them helpful.
Why is this moment not conducive?
I know this moment is conducive for anything.
And yeah, moving away.
But the point is, I might find, when if I read a little bit more, I find conditions are better for me. That's my personal prefer to do that, go to the pub. One doesn't say I have to go to the pub or I should do this. I know what I find conducive. I may not necessarily person
conducive
may cause
for
tension.
Understanding or being trapped.
Sorry, I didn't understand.
When there is the postponing from understanding reality right now, one is trapped.
But in the Satipatthana Sutta, doesn't it say things like, and a person knows when they are concentrated and they know the conditions that, you know, caused the concentration to arise and so on and so forth?
That's very deep. Understanding,
then there's no question about how.
That there's much fruit. And how is anapanasati development made much of? It develops the four satipatthanas. Now, the anapanasati is in four sections to do with the body, feeling, the mind, and dhammas. So the Buddha says when one's mind for one breathes in, one breathes out. Breathing in a long breath, one knows one's breathing a long breath. Breathing out, one knows one's breathing a long breath, etc. Then he says, you know, how does this become kayanupassana? One is mindful of the breath is a body amongst bodies. So being mindful of the breath, one is fulfilling the kayanupassana. Likewise with feeling, when one's paying attention to the feeding content that arises when one's doing anapanasati, the piti or sukha or the mental formations at that time, that the Buddha says that one who pays careful attention to the in and out breath.
And how can it lead to understand the anatta-ness of reality?
Yes, so we have the four satipatthanas. So the fourth one
of having breath as the object, how can it lead to a detachment from taking it for self?
Again, it's to do with having developed the right intellectual understanding. One's developing it now. If I can say the fourth satipatthana, as the Buddha says, having seen with wisdom the abandoning of abhijja dominasa, covetousness and grief, one looks on with equanimity at what is occurring. And then the Buddha talks about how these four satipatthanas developed through anapanasati, developed the seven enlightenment factors.
If we don't classify, can anything be object of right understanding?
Yes. When we talk about anything being the object of right understanding, we're coming to Dhammanupassana. This is the point that I make.
No, don't classify at all. Can anything be object of right understanding?
Everything can. If it is a sankhara, if it's not a...
So we don't have to classify because it can be anything. But since we usually take the body for my body, at moment of understanding reality which arises at the body without the idea of my leg or my arm or myself, the nature of hardness is there to be known as just a reality which is conditioned, arising and passing away.
Ajahn Sucina, I would tend to understand that if it is in the area that anything that is presents itself through the six sense bases becomes the object, that we are actually talking about Dhammanupassana.
No, I don't classify, because we don't have to mention whether it is Dhammanupassana, because you see that Khanda is Dhammanupassana Sipatthana, right? And Rupa Khanda is Dhammanupassana Sipatthana.
Yes.
No matter it's in the body or wherever it appears.
So what is the difference then with the Kaya, Vedana and Jitta? The Buddha is actually making a difference between Kayanupassana and Dhammanupassana. We have. I think the Buddha is talking about actually different practices in terms of the attention, the yoniso manasikara which one is applying. Now, if it goes towards the six sense bases or the five aggregates, that by definition is Dhammanupassana.
Or the five hindrances.
But if we come back to actually observing the breath as a vehicle to develop the four satipatthanas.
But at moment of experiencing hardness here, what class it is? Kaya or Dhamma?
It would be Dhamma. Because Kaya here is that when you use the Kaya itself as the base, not anything. The yoniso manasikara is going towards, for instance, 31 parts of the body is being used as a base, not the mind. Through that base, mindfulness will develop and will go into Dhammanupassana eventually.
Hardness here, hardness there, is there any difference?
Actually, we're now talking about element meditation, but we're concerned with four elements, not paying attention to the mind. If we bring the mind into it, we're into Dhammanupassana. I'm just trying to get at, why did the Buddha emphasize these four satipatthanas, not just one?
According to one's clinging to Kaya, to Vedana, Citta, and Dhamma, but they can be object of satipatthana. When Panya is there, we don't have to call or try to have it on this or that object, but it depends on sati, because sati is anatta. Nobody can direct it to such kayanupasana or vedananupasana at all, but whenever it arises, it depends on what object is there.
I find it difficult, Ajahn Sucina, the point. to understand the point of sitting down and contemplating the 31 parts of the body, if it is not to actually see the body in terms of anatta also, in terms of various parts, whether they are solid, whether they're liquid, and this will lead me to understand anatta. But why does the Buddha encourage us to do that? Why is that in the Satipatthana Sutta?
Can there be right understanding even we do not sit cross-legged right now? Can there be understanding of reality right now?
But then that would be in Dhammanupa.
And what about any position? Is it not there in Tipitaka? Better to have awareness no matter when, where, and in what position. Standing, walking, lying down.
Chan, but there was a practice, presumably Samatha practice, which was concerning the 32 parts of the body.
Yes, but not understanding the reality as they are at all.
Right, so could we say that in referring to that, he was just talking to people who were practicing those Samatha practices?
First of all, I think that we should understand the difference between the Buddha's teachings and the other's teaching. The other's teaching know nothing about reality as non-self, anatta. But the teaching of Buddha, by experiencing and directly experience the true nature of reality, which is the enlightenment, he knew all realities as anatta, no matter it's citta, cetasika, rupa, or nibbana, because there is no self. How can there be self at moment of seeing? Because it's conditioned and it passes away. So where's the self then when it's gone? So by understanding this, there will be more and more understanding of the anatta-ness of reality, so that there will be less and less clinging, taking it in a day, all day.
Famous for in his time, he was called the teacher of non-self. That was the main thing that distinguished him from all the other teachers that were teaching around him, like the Jain teacher.
And when there is no understanding of seeing, how can there be the moment of not taking it for I see?
I would just like to point something out in terms of, you mentioned 32 parts being a samatha practice. And I think I mentioned before, to my understanding, was not actually taught outside the Buddhist time, Buddhist asana itself, as it's actually teaching that he introduced. But I'd like to point out something. We have anapanasati and we have postures, we have the Satisampajanya, we have the 31 parts, we have the four elements, and we have the 70 contemplations. This is what's included in Kayanupasana. But let us see what's included in the Kayagata Sati Sutta. We have the same ones, and then the Buddha includes four jhanas. Now you're saying that the 31 or 32 parts of the body is a samatha subject. So if they're concerned about samatha, surely they're aiming for jhana. But the Buddha's here is, it's actually a Satipatthana meditation itself, otherwise he would not present it. And the point is that if one actually does that meditation practice, the view, the concept of a self being here will also disappear. Now Ajahn Suchin was talking about at the moment of seeing, there's no idea that there's a body here. If one develops that meditation, the perception of there being a body will disappear also. And one will see that what we take to the body is actually just different parts. And those different parts have the characteristic of solidity or liquid. This is the point. It goes straight into anatta itself. Inside, if there is Satipatthana developing, the concept will disappear. One will see the nature of anicca, dukkha, anatta itself. Vipassana, when insight develops, the nimitta, the sign, will fall away. So if one's developing mindfulness of the 31 parts and the concept falls away and the element shows itself, that is the Satipatthana practice.
The question is whether Gaya is Dhamma or not Dhamma. The Gaya is Dhamma or not Dhamma. So, Dhamma is Dhamma. But usually one takes the body from head to toe, here, as me or mine, and the other. But when there is right understanding, there is no I, no other people, just reality. At the end of each section of the Mahasatipatthana, seeing Kaya as Dhamma, seeing Vedana as Dhamma, seeing citta as dhamma, seeing dhamma as dhamma, not seeing kaya as not dhamma, because kaya does not belong to anyone, and the meaning of dhamma is that which arises by conditions. Pardon? Yes, and body is dhamma. And is vedana dhamma?
If everything was just dhamma, of course, body, feeling, mind are dhamma. We cannot, dhamma is all inclusive, including nibbana, yes? So I don't dispute that. But why this differentiation into four kinds of satipatthanas? And actually, Kunzichen, each satipatthana still means that it is like a body amongst bodies. Hi kayoti, there is this body. Ati vedana, there is this feeling. Because the attention has gone towards that particular thing.
What about the indication of the four application of mindfulness? Only the development of right understanding. No matter when and where and what. No matter what we call it, body or citta or vedana or dhamma. But since there's always clinging to this as me, in order to understand that there is no me, no body, they are only dhamma. But at moment of not knowing the truth, we take this for my body. At that very moment, there can be the understanding with right awareness of the characteristic of dhamma. So no matter it's kadhamma, they are all sick. And it's only for at the end of each kaya anupasana sipatthana.
When we use words, I'm sitting. Sitting is a concept. If I pay attention to what sitting is, the reality may appear this mindfulness.
Yes. So it will be hardness, softness, heat,
yes,
cold.
Yes.
So it does not matter because there's heat and cold now.
We might have a meditation. Think, Ajahn Suchin, your Ajahn Neb was. We were known for teaching sitting posture and posture meditation, wasn't it? Based upon change of posture also, and, as being one of upasanas, as one of the...
Breathing is also kayanupasana, and posture is also kayanupasana. But the reality of breathing and the reality of sitting must be known as reality. So there is no sitting at all, because when... But actually, it's thinking. But actually what is experienced without thinking, like hardness, we don't have to think about hardness.
Yes, sir.
We don't have to think about seeing.
Yes.
But when we call something breath, we take the softness for seeing.
Yes, but we have to use that word sitting or standing to indicate the posture. But the element that is prominent at that time can be known for what itself. That is not actually one is sitting because the Buddha did. Gacchanto wa, going, one knows that one is going. Sitting, one knows that one is sitting. Although the Satipatthana Sutta, Mahasatipatthana, or just the Satipatthana Sutta was given in Kuru, and the commentary says it was given there because the people had such high understanding. The actual sutta was addressed to monks. And also we see at that particular time when the Buddha was teaching, he gave some of the deepest suttas. So it was a time, a special time, which the Buddha's wisdom was really activated. And it's just not amongst the Kurus that he gave the talk on Satipatthana. Yes, the Satipatthana Sutta was given there, but if you go to the Satipatthana Samyutta, you'll see that the Buddha has talked about the four Satipatthanas on different other occasions addressed to monks.
Okay, so he can also talk to monks who are very highly developed and they would have a deeper understanding of that. The fact is, we're not living in the time of the Buddha right now. We don't have the accumulations those people had. So he could talk to them in a certain way and they would have a greater understanding than we have. And maybe they understood what he was meaning by no self. And maybe they would reflect on it in a different way to how we reflect on it. Maybe they don't take posture for being posture, but they take it for being a state of mind that arises as thinking. Maybe they do.
And what does the first Vipassana Jnana experience? Yeah. Is it posture or a reality?
I mean, they could know that posture is only just those realities,
no,
if they're highly developed.
Okay, now everyone knows in what posture one is, right?
Right.
Okay. And what about the understanding of reality?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
I know from Bhukhan Janaram that, you know, you're told to know the whole posture. That has to be, to some extent, imagination. Now I can just feel the pressure from the chair and that part of the body. Nothing else. The actual experience is not of the sitting.
But it can also lead to understanding if one has right view and the body sits upright.
But you can't expect wrong view to lead to right view, because at those moments, when you take posture for real, that is not real, that you can't say it's right understanding, it's wrong understanding.
You're saying it's wrong understanding, but I find it in the Satipatthana Sutta, we once encouraged, gacchanto wa gacchami iti gajanati. One knows when one's going that one goes. When one is standing, one knows.
I mean, like we were talking about traffic, having awareness of visible object that doesn't stop the concepts from arising. So when there's hardness, there is knowing. Also, the concept of breathing long, breathing short.
So it's just not happening just at any time in between. In the sense, then it says, whatever posture, however the body is placed, one knows that, one contemplates that. However, so the attention is gone towards the posture or how the. This is the gamatana means tana is basis. Kama here is base as work. The basis or the place of working, directing you, is to keeping the mindfulness based upon the posture itself. And I have also done that. One knows, okay, why is, if one's sitting, yes, of course there's hardness. If one's aware of hardness, the concept of the body falls away. What is it that keeps the body upright? One will see the wild dhatu, the wind element, otherwise it will fall down. So when one's paying attention to the sitting posture, little by little, the mindfulness and understanding grows, wisdom grows, until one sees the sitting posture in terms of a body or person, but just elements. This is the point of it. This is why Upasana in the Satipatthana Sutta, as opposed to being placed in the Dhammanupasana, come to it.
I'm just looking at the Satipatthana Sutta now, and the paragraph about the postures is there, and then two paragraphs later, we've got, and moreover, because a brother, whether he departs or returns, whether he looks at or looks away, whether he's drawn in or stretched out, whether he's donned his underrobe or his overrobe, whether he's eating or drinking, or whether he is obeying the calls of nature, going to the toilet, is aware of what he is about. And going, standing, sitting, sleeping, watching, talking, keeping silence. So it seems to be, finally, you know, you've got a few things here that are put out, but finally it's talking within kayana sati, it's talking about every moment of his life, whatever he is doing.
But as there are many different combinations of, we are different in thinking, so why the Buddha divide into detailed, just to remind us to know, even now, Kai Veta.
Vayadhamma. But Venerable Buddhasira just said it, Vayadhamma.
Right, but of Dhamma. Yeah. All conditioned nature is rising and falling away. The nature of Kaya, the nature of Citta, the nature of Dhamma. All are Dhammas, right? Or Kaya is not Dhamma. The arising and falling away.
And that's in every section, right? That's in the Kaya and the Vedana. And, it doesn't mean elements in this case.
So what does it mean?
So what does it mean? It means...
If it doesn't mean elements, nature arising, what's nature? Yeah, nature, right? Dhamma here is nature. Yeah. Can we say that it includes all dhammas, because what is not taken as kaya, vedana, citta must be dhamma, but rupakhanda includes kaya too. Uh-huh. Yeah, but I don't mind the term, but see, Tammanupassana includes Khanda, right? Tammanupassana includes Khanda, yes, and Kaya is also Rupa, Khanda too, so it's included too.
Mm-hmm. I've often wondered about this too, but perhaps we could say the teaching is suiting to different people, these different aspects of the teaching suit hearing these things repeated in different ways, classified in ways, suit the accumulation. Possibly, that's one reason, possibly.
And how many rupas are there in the Kaya?
Concerned here is not taking it as a self.
So it must be rupa too, in the body. 27.
That's the whole point. If one has rupas as
so the body. This experience at the body, is it also khanda or is it not khanda? Mm-hmm. It depends on the clinging to, because we can cling to what's here, to the table. Both the rupa here and the rupa there are khanda, rupa khanda. So the same, no matter where the rupa arises, it has to be rupa khanda here or there. And the arising and falling away is the nature or conditioned reality. But when there is clinging, we take something from my body or I and the other for not my body and not me. But in reality, rupa is rupa, no matter here or there. And in order to see rupa as not self, it's the understanding of the nature of rupa, hardness here or hardness there as hard, right? So I think that it comes to the understanding rupa and not Kaya, because the rupa which we take for Kaya, it's also rupa, and the rupa, no matter, also rupa khanda. So when there is the understanding of rupa khanda as rupa khanda, when we take rupa khanda for my body, that's not right. That's why there can be the awareness of rupa here in order to understand that rupa is rupa.
One particular
I think that it's like the reminder to be calm, matter when aware. For example, when one touches the other's body, that is the idea of the, when we do nothing in terms of body, all are dhammas.